Thank God he's faithful. Just that's very evident just by looking around in this church building. Every one of us ought to be dead in hell this morning. But God's been faithful. He's a just, holy God, but he sure is a gracious, loving God. And I thank him for his presence this morning already. And I know what time it is, and you bear with us a minute. We're going to have no service this evening, so you can endure for a few moments this morning and go get you something good to eat, and then you'll have the day off. But take your Bibles this morning, Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15, you've been seated a while. Let's stand together. We'll honor God's word as we read. Very familiar text. I'm sure everybody has heard of the prodigal son. And I personally preach from this part of the scripture many times, but this morning the Lord has given me a different direction. And so let's look at what God said. Luke chapter number 15. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Verse number 11. The Bible says, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to bread and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. This my son was dead. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants, and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with me. Hold on a minute, I just lost my place. What verse is that? Okay, sorry, my whole thing just jumped on me. I'm having to read off my iPad because I forgot my glasses, so excuse me. Verse 29 said, you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And you can just hear the animosity building between these two brothers. Rather than rejoicing that a sinner had come home, this religious son who stayed home with his father, you can just hear how angry he's speaking about his own brother. It says in verse 31, and he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. Preaching on the subject this morning, it's time to come home. I'm aware that it's homecoming. Usually I don't preach the homecoming service. You usually have a preacher come in and do that. A lot of times a preacher that's been out of the church or come out of the church in years gone by. I called about everyone I know. I had Brother Joey Walker supposed to be here today, and they had a COVID outbreak over there, so he canceled last moment, and I probably called 20 preachers. And finally, I had to look up at God and say, I guess this ain't working. I guess you don't want me to call another preacher. And so God put these verses on my heart. And I won't keep you long this morning, but I do want to preach. I got two titles this morning. I don't have two messages, but I got two titles. It's time to come home, or get back in there. How many of us have played ball or some kind of sport, and you've been put on the bench and you've been sidelined, or maybe just pulled out of the game for a breather? But then you hear the coach say, I want you to get back in there, get back in the game, get motivated, get moving, and get involved in what's going on. That's the same is true in the Christian life. Many times, maybe the coach didn't bench us. Maybe we benched ourselves. Maybe we just quit and slowed down and decided we didn't want to be part of what's going on. That's what this young boy did and said to his father. He said, I know you're doing life your way, and I've lived here my whole life, but I've got bigger and better plans than living here on this farm with you, Daddy. I want all that's coming to me. And his father gave it to him. And you know the story. He went out and wasted his substance on riotous living. But I want to look at it from this angle this morning. Get back in there. And I don't know who come in here this morning or what shape you come in here this morning. I don't even know how my family got in here this morning and what shape. Because only God and you know where you're at spiritually and mentally and emotionally. I may know have had a cracked door look or peep through the window and have an idea about where you're at on the spiritual thermometer, but only you and God really know where you're at, how low you are, how high you are, how strong in the faith you are, how weak. But we ought to all take a tally and look and see, are we in the game? Are we serving God the way He would have us serve Him? And this boy had come to the place where it, and it always does. We can keep things under the hat for a while. And we can fool the church and the preacher and even mom and daddy or husband and wife. You can do that for so long. But finally, it's going to bubble to the top. Finally, that rebellious spirit that's down within each and every one of us will finally salute and raise up and resurrect itself and defy authority. That's what this boy did. He said, I don't want nobody telling me what to do no more. I'm tired of you telling me go feed the cows and feed the sheep and go mow the lawn. I'm tired of you telling me do your chores and do this. He wanted it. You know how every young person is. If you have passed the teenage years, you should be able to look back at your own life. I can mine and just see how rebellious I was and how I thought I knew everything. And the older I get, I'm learning how little I knew and how little I still know. But this boy, he had that problem. He thought he knew it all. He thought he had life figured out and had life by the tail, and he was going to go out and do it his way. And he had no idea what was waiting on him. I mean, the devil had showed him the billboards of life, and he saw one side of the picture and one side of the coin, and it looked so luscious and so tempting and so alluring. But oh, the devil never shows you the other side of that coin. He never shows you what's behind door number two. He never shows you the only the highlights and the good part, but never. He'll show you the parties, and he'll show you the running around and how good that can feel. But the Bible still says there's pleasure in sin. And there are. I'm not going to get up here this morning and lie to you and tell you, hey, sin is boring and there's nothing fun about sin at all. Well, that'd be a lie. There is some things that's fun to do that ain't right. If you've got a thimble full of spirituality, you'll say amen to that. You know that. And we hurt our own credibility when we try to stand up and say, well, I'm invincible to sin. No, you ain't. I ain't either. And if we give enough attention to it, we take in that temptation, ain't none of us above, falling and failing to temptation, because it is so alluring. Amen. You know, I'd never go to the far country. You sounding like in this text we just read, that elder brother, full of pride. I'd never do that. You better be careful what you say you'll never do. I remember those very words falling off my tongue, telling some boys about your age, Connor, we was all friends, and they come by my house, and they was high, been smoking pot, and I looked at my own friend, I said, y'all crazy. I'd never do that. I said that, Brother Jimmy, the next day. That's how long it took for that never to wear off. I'm saying we're not above sin. And sin will have its way with us. Amen. You cannot control what sin will do to you. Amen. The Bible clearly states the wages of sin is death. Right. Say, I thought this was a homecoming. I thought we was here to celebrate 53 years. We are. You know the greatest way to celebrate is get right with God.
Amen.
Then you can enjoy the celebration.
You
look at this young boy's life. They didn't just celebrate while he was still down there in the hog pen. No, friend. He had to repent. He had to come to himself and have a change of mind and a change of heart. Says, I will arise and go to my father's house. And when he returned, after he repented of his sin, that's what repentance is. It means I'm going this way toward the hog pen, toward sin. And I about face and turn my back on that, and I'm going back to the fathers, and that's when they rejoice. And you'll not truly have a celebration. We want to truly experience a wonderful homecoming. Then come home to Jesus and give your all to Jesus this morning. And then, and only then, can you truly celebrate. Because the liquor will wear off, the pills will wear off, the joints will wear off, and you'll have to get more. The alcohol will wear off, that illicit relationship will wear off, but all come to Jesus and come back to Him and truly celebrate.
Amen.
Truly have a party. You've never partied until you've partied with Jesus.
Amen.
You've never been high until you've been high with Jesus. And no, I ain't talking about smoking no joint or smoking nothing else. I'm talking about getting into the presence of, and before you look at me with your long crooked nose, listen to me. Listen to me. What's the Bible say? And be not drunk with wine wherein it excess, but be you filled with the Spirit. That's what's God saying to it. He's saying you can get so drunk on the Spirit of God, so inebriated on the Spirit of God, that it's way better than any high this world or the devil could ever offer you. Yes. Sadly, a lot of us end up going to the far country to learn that hard lesson. To realize this world ain't got nothing to offer us. Jesus has everything to offer. Yeah. So I'm here to say this morning, whether you're saved or lost, if you lost, you've never truly been saved, you never truly had the peace of God that passes all understanding, be able to lay your head down at night and sleep like a baby, not wondering or worrying where your soul will go, because you know that you know that you know that He knows you and you know Him personally and have a relationship with Him. That's what it takes to get to heaven. Not a little prayer, not some little flimsy prayer you prayed as a kid. You better know that you have a relationship right now with God. Because once you establish that relationship and He knows you and you know Him, you never walk out of that relationship. You may be not be on speaking terms at all points, because if we regard iniquity in our heart, He won't hear us.
Yeah, that's right.
And so there are times when I'm out of fellowship with God, but there's never been a time from the day September 21st, 1991, where I bowed my knee and heart to Him and He come into my heart and saved me. There's never been a time I've been out of relationship with Him. Because that day I become a child of God. And once you've been born, you remember what Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3? Nicodemus comes and said, what must I do? And Jesus said, you must be born again. And he said, how can I? And I'm paraphrasing, how can I enter back into my mother's womb? I'm a grown man. And Jesus said, you've well said. You can't. That which is born physically, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And no more can you be born again in your mother's womb physically. You can't be born again twice spiritually. It's a one-time fix. When you are ushered into the family of God by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, Yes. Hallelujah. Well, if you lost, I say come home. You ain't never had a home till you've been till God takes abode in your heart. He said, I will reside with you. I'll take up residence with you. Meaning wherever I go. Listen, you know I don't have to come to church. And this ain't popular for a preacher. Can't go get me some water. It ain't popular for a preacher to say, you don't have to come to church to have a relationship with God. But you don't. You can have a relationship with God and never walk through the church doors. It ain't going to be a healthy one. I wouldn't encourage that. Amen. It's to your own detriment if you don't come to church. Because you can't live the Christian life separated from, detached from, preaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
The fellowship that you receive with the brothers and sisters in the Lord. God knew what He was doing when He established the church. Yes. And what kind of nut do you think you are? I mean, this planet's been here all this time, and people's been living all this time, and the church has been as vitally and as important as this. Who do you think you are that you're going to break the mold and be able to live the Christian life without the church? I doubt it. You wasn't living the Christian life too well with the church. Amen. So we need church. I'm just saying we got to get our priorities straight. Number one is a relationship with Christ. That's where everything else flows. If you get the church membership in front of that, you're backwards. If you get baptism in front of that, you're backwards. If you get tithing and whatever else, whatever good deeds you want to put on that, you've missed first base. And I don't care how many bases you run, Brother Ned. There was a World Series one time, and the man missed a base after he hit a home run and won the series, he thought. And they all crowded the field, but one of his feet didn't touch one of the bases, and he was out. And I tell you, you will be out with God and into hell if you miss step one.
Amen.
And that's trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Yes. Well, that's enough gospel to save the world.
Amen.
Not because I said it, because God can do it. He can save you. But I mainly come here this morning to talk to the church. Because I wouldn't have been able to title this, Get Back in the Game, Get Back in There, if you've never been there to begin with. I couldn't tell you to go back home if you've never been home. And if you're not saved, you've never experienced what it's like to be a true child of God and be able to come home with Him. And Him go home with you. So, to the child of God, I say get back in the game. Come home. We're going to have revival in 2 weeks. I'm stirred about it. Way than any other revival we've had. Hold on. Chill out. I'm trying to give my neck some breathing. We need revival. Since a lot of y'all, don't think I'm throwing stones. I just love you enough to tell you the truth. Since a lot of y'all won't come back on Sunday night and Wednesday night, I'm going to have to load your wagon this morning.
Amen.
Amen.
If you'll get faithful, I could preach a lot shorter.
Amen.
That's right. I could give it to you in segments. Three simple phases. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But when all you give me is one time a week or a month, God help you. They'll preach me to death. Listen, God ain't satisfied. And I don't care what you talk yourself into believing, God ain't satisfied
Amen.
With your unfaithfulness
Amen.
To His house.
Amen.
He ain't. Some of you parents know better. Some of you parents are training your children that church ain't important.
Amen.
And you know better. You wouldn't raise that way. Amen. Am I going to have to get down there and sit down and shout myself on while I preach? Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. That's right. We can't detach ourselves from the church house. Number one, he didn't know what he had until it was gone. This young boy, he thought he knew it all. And if he could get his hands on that money and all that was coming to him, he thought he could take on the world alone. Can I say it? I'm preaching to you from experience this morning and from a broken heart. I'm so burdened for some of these young people. Because I know the pitfalls ahead. And some of you are already on a track and on a trail that's leading you to dangerous places. And you have no idea what you're going to lose. I can give you horror story after horror story of people, friends of mine, that are buried and dead in the grave because of sin. And sin is nothing to play with, flirt with. You better run from it. But this boy, he thought, I can handle it. Just like every one of us think. We can handle it. It's just a little bit. It's just one night. It's just one phone call. You better hang the phone up and quit talking to some Jezebel. It ain't your wife. You better quit talking to that thing at work. It's going to wreck you and ruin you. And it gets your heart to fluttering. Won't you go home and love your wife that way. Love your husband that way. I ain't just preaching to young people this morning. Your parents wouldn't amen me, so I had to turn the Uzi on you. I'm kidding. I'm being honest. But he had no idea. Listen, I'm kidding. I'm trying to wake somebody up this morning. He didn't know what he had until he lost it. How many of you could testify to that simple truth? There's been things in my life I had no idea. Had I known what I had while I had it, I would have spent more time with them, with her, with him. If I'd have just known that I was going to lose that, oh, I wouldn't have neglected it. I'd have took that more serious. I would have spent more time. You been there? I have. And this boy had no idea how good he had it at home. At the father's house. There was always food on the table. He didn't have to get up and cook and clean and slave and labor over an oven. No, his mama done that every day. He could go take a cold or hot shower anytime he wanted to. Because his daddy had put the work in and saw to it that his boy had a place to live, a roof over his head, shoes on his feet, clothes on his back. Yes, all those things he took for granted. But when he found himself down in the far country, down in the pig pen, and he had spent all, he'd have paid anything in this world for a good warm shower after rolling around in the slop of this world. Those things he took for just simple things, little things, like taking a shower, like water, like running water, like power in a house. How often do we take that for granted until it goes out and we didn't realize how much we needed it until it goes out? I'm saying this boy had it made at home. And I'm just going to hurry. I had more to say about this point. I'm just going to hurry and say this by way of illustration. That little woman right there, she had me a nice place to live. Every time I go over her house, about every Sunday, Brother Ned, and eat. And my room was back and to the right. And I just look back there and shake my head. What was I thinking? To move out. I moved out. I had no idea where I was going to live. I just wanted to fly the coop. I didn't want nobody over me no more. How stupid. How ignorant. You young people, hear me and hear me well. I'm trying to help you prevent stepping in big old messes. You better stay at home as long as you can. Because you think you're ready for life? I promise you, you ain't. Life's going to hit you like a bulldozer right in the mouth. This boy thought he could handle it. He thought it. And listen. He didn't know what he had until he lost it. He had it made and he didn't even know it. How many of you parents could testify your children have it made and they ain't got a clue? In 2020, this generation more than any other generation probably known in history, in the United States of America especially,
probably more so than anywhere in the world. Our children have it made. Probably way too much. You look out on the streets and see all these protests, these young guys marching. I'm just a country preacher, brother, now, but it makes me think, well, right. Why ain't that work?
Yeah. That's it.
You want me tell you why? Because they went to some college, got their mind good and brainwashed by some socialist, communistic, Marxist mentality, and they're trying to overthrow the government of the United States of America. You know why? Because mom and daddy spoon-fed them their whole life and provided everything they would ever need. They never had to work for anything. You can like that or not. That's the truth. Amen. We have spoiled our children. I ain't talking about babies. We spoiled our children. Amen. Our teenagers are spoiled to death. If we don't take responsibility, listen, yes, I blame the kids. I blame the teenagers out there doing all that nonsense. But just as guilty as our parents that raised them. And it ought to be a mirror to every child of God that we could at least learn from that and take note that if we give our child everything, never make them work for anything, they liable to turn out that way too. Rebelling against authority, and when they don't get their way, they throw a temper tantrum. I've seen that, and it wasn't with Antifa. I've seen that in the Baptist church, kids.
Amen.
I'll go a step further. I've seen that with my child.
Amen.
I want your phone, Mommy. No, Laurel, you can't have my phone. And she will go berserk. I'm about trying to show you, but that would be bad. She will start flipping and flopping like a fish out of water. But I want your phone! Last night I had a date. I said, you ain't touching another phone or another iPad. You ain't, don't you talk. Go sit in the attic or something. Just get away. You ain't touching another phone. But I mean, 4 years old. And already her mentality is, if I don't get what I want, I pitch a fit to get what I want. And sadly, that's what got her in that condition the first way, little by little. So we didn't have to hear crying. And so we didn't have to deal with rebellion. We just give in and give it to them. Give it to them. God help me, I ain't the only parent in here that is guilty.
Amen.
We're ruining our children because we're making life easier for us. In a temporary moment.
Yep.
Well, number two. Quickly. Not only did he didn't know what he had until it was gone. Number two, he deliberately left home. He knew what he was doing. He didn't know all the consequences, but he knew what he was doing. And on purpose, he went to his daddy and said, Daddy, I love you, but I love what you got more. And I want it. And I don't want to wait till you die to get it. Give me what's coming to me. Well, that right there shows the immaturity and the lack of love that boy should have had for his daddy.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen, it does. But on purpose, willfully, he said, I'm leaving here, and I'm headed for that far country that I've heard all my friends talk about. Down there, they party. Down there, the girls are beautiful and plenteous. And up here, ain't but two girls in our town, Daddy. And the only ones that ever showed interest in me was so buck-toothed she could eat an apple through a chain-link fence. So I got good reason to go down there. There's more pretty girls down there. They're partying down there. The beer flows like water, and there's drugs down there, and they're having a good time. And he said, I want some of that. Oh, I'm just going to run through this and give you the shell and say this. Listen, whether you're a teenager or the parent of one, we better wake up. Listen, do you know when I was growing up, and I know I got gray hair, and these younger ones think I'm old, but it feels like yesterday I was in high school. And I'm serious. And you know, me growing up, Daniel, if I wanted to get into the world and go to the far country, I had to literally, physically go to the far country. Now, the far country lives in their pocket. And we train them from 2 years old and up how, and giving them directions. This is how you get there. And we wonder why our children are turning out so crazy. We wonder why we're seeing children shooting up schools. Don't look at me goofy. Listen, that never happened before all this stuff happened. I'm saying there is a direct correlation between the rebellion we're seeing from young people. And the Bible says in the last days, children be unthankful, disobedient to parents. Well, if we ain't lived to see that day. But this boy, he said, I'm out of here. I know what I'm doing. And ain't nothing you can do to stop me, Daddy. I'm going, with or without you, I'm going. That'll break a parent's heart. Whew, goodness. That boy gave it all up for a small, short-lived thrill. The devil's so convincing to make you think, I know it's bad, but I can do just enough and get by. But you have no idea what world you're opening up when you say yes to sin. They're chain linked one to the next. You take a first toke off a joint, the next thing will be pills and liquor and beer and then cocaine and then meth. And you say, oh, you never thought you'd smoke pot either. I'm telling you, hey, listen, you don't want to mess with that life. You're looking at a preacher who only by the grace of God come back from that life and from those wicked worlds by the grace of God. And I'm one of a very few people that I know walking planet Earth today who's ever made it back.
Amen.
It ought to burden us as parents. Hey, if you knew under this church the wickedness that was going on, it would blow your mind. We are so oblivious. Well, my child would never do that. You know how many times I've been cussed out by parents? Because my little Johnny, well, he's got a halo over his head. I say, no, that ain't a halo. That's horns.
Amen.
The devil, what he is.
Amen.
That's right. Hey, I remember being young and thinking at that time to my girlfriend's parents, how ignorant are they? That's why I don't let my daughters get in a car with no boys.
Amen.
The Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Well, you reckon God just pulled that promise right out of the sky for no reason? Well, no! He don't want any of them. He knows what'll hurt you and what'll help you. And he said, you better stay away from these. That's right. Well, in closing, quickly, he soon ran out of money, spent all. And he went down after he spent all. I believe when he left home, he took that money and bought him a camel. I mean, the best camel money could buy. He probably took some armor on and shined up his hooves and put a sound system put over his back, and there he was off to the far country, and he was bad to the bone. And when he pulled in town, all the girls checked him out. They said, you see that camel? You see that boy on that camel? He's got to have money. And then here come all the bums and all the leeches from hell that will come and befriend you in a wicked scenario while they can leech off of you.
Yeah.
And don't you even look at me like I don't know what I'm talking about. I didn't read this out of a book, friend. I lived it. I know what goes to bars and what goes on in bars. And I know what goes on in the wicked world. And I'm going to tell you something. As long as you've got some money in your pocket, as long as you've got booze to hand out and things and trinkets to give out, you'll have all the friends you want.
Amen.
But them ain't friends.
That's exactly right.
They make friends at all. Amen. And if you got to support somebody for them to be your friend, think about how sorry you are.
Yep.
Maybe you ought to change your bar for friendship.
Amen.
You shouldn't have to give anything to somebody to be your friend.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes,
sir. Well, when the money dried up, the friendships dried up. And there he found himself, like every person does who gets in sin. On that process, when sin is being completed, it'll break you. Financially, it'll break you. Emotionally, mentally, absolutely, spiritually. In every way, sin is out to break you.
Amen.
To destroy you. But one of the last steps in sin, I know this personally, that you'll go through, is isolation. No man gave unto him. He had nobody. You talking about depression? What does depressed people do? He said, you believe in depression? Absolutely, I believe in depression. It's real. I battle it. But I'm telling you, you don't find the cure to that in a bottle. You find it in the Bible.
Hey.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm saying to you, listen, what's one of the biggest red flags to see if somebody's depressed or not? They won't spend time all by themselves all the time. They won't be with nobody. That's where sin leads. And here that boy is down in a land and a country where he don't know nobody, and now they don't have anything to give out to people to attract them. He has nobody. And he's a Jewish boy who's forbidden, who's never touched a pig, who's never been around pig slop, because that's abomination. And there he is, so hungry, so desperate, that he's rolling around in pig slop and said, I would fain have filled my belly with the husk.
Yeah.
I'm saying he's in a terrible state. You know why? All because he chose deliberately to go there. Now, he didn't choose. He didn't know what the outcome would be. Matter of fact, he thought it would never be that outcome. But you don't know the end of the story with sin.
Amen.
Amen. That's why you better flee from it. Flee from it. Run from it. Well, sin is so expensive. I had it wrote down, and it's worth repeating. Sin, it will cost you. You've heard this so much, but it'll cost you more than you want to pay, keep you longer than you want to stay. I promise you, you don't want to mess with sin. You are no match for it. I'm no match for it. I'm no match for it. Neither are you. All right. Lastly, and all God's people said, amen. He desperately decided to go home. No matter the cost, that's what it takes. That's exactly what it takes to get out of the hell that you're living in. That the devil, your own flesh, and the world has convinced you there is no hope, there is no help. You are too far gone. When you get there and you're all alone and you ain't got nobody to call, and like this boy was, and he got to the place where he didn't even feel like his own daddy would love him. He thought his own daddy had disavowed him and excommunicated him. And he said, well, at least I can go and be a servant at my father's house. Well, that's the mentality you need to have to get right with God. I ain't going to come demanding God put me back in this position. Not what I've been. When I backslid on God so bad, I came to preach a carrying. Brother Ned, I wouldn't dare say, well, I want to teach a Sunday school class. Well, I'm about ready to be back in the pulpit. No, you know, I felt like I had a white suit on and somebody poured dirty diesel oil all over me, and I was just walking in so filthy and nasty, and I wasn't looking for no position to do nothing but sit and try to heal and get help. And a person's humility or pride will tell you a world about where they really are.
Amen.
You don't make demands with God. No. This boy, he said, no man's given to me. He come to himself. He said, I'll arise and go to my father. In humility, not in pride. See, that elder brother, I'm done. Right now, I'm done. That older brother, he never went to the far country. So if you was just to look on the outer shell and just glaze over this whole parable, this is called the Prince of Parables. There's so much truth that comes out of this parable. If you just glance at this parable and this story, it would look like the eldest brother was a godly man. He stayed home close to daddy, kept doing the chores, never went out and run with the world. But deep in his heart, you listen to me, church member, deep in his heart, he was more wicked than that one who went out and got involved in a mess in the world. And I wonder how many people are littered across a church pew and their heart is black as a thousand midnights. Amen.
Amen.
And you need God's help just as much as somebody on Skid Row needs their help. Amen. Religion ain't going to help you. It'll only hurt you. Hey, only a relationship with Christ will deliver you. Religion cannot and will not help nobody. But he said, I don't care what it costs, I'm going to rise and I'm going home. Whether my daddy hates me or whether he cusses me, if he does, I deserve it. I know how that feels so much. I deserve it. Whatever they do to me, I deserve it. And when God sees a broken and a contrite spirit, he will exalt them and heal and restore that individual. And he can do it for anybody. If he can do it for me, he can do it for anybody. He done it for this boy. He's in pretty bad shape. You know anybody this morning? We're done. You better get to go eat. You know anybody this morning that's so far gone, you even yourself wonder if they're too far gone? If you don't know anybody like that, come talk to me, because I could point you in about 20 or 30 directions right here in Packlet that thought crosses my mind when I see them. But the Holy Spirit reminded me this morning, there ain't nobody out of my reach. Jesus can take the worst situation and bring full restoration to it. But he uses people like you and like myself and like this church. It's homecoming, 53 years. It would be a terrible tragedy for our generation to drop the ball.
Amen.
All that's went into building this place, I ain't talking about this sanctuary, but everything on this property, all the souls that have been saved, all the preachers that have been called, the missionaries, etc., all that's been done for the glory of God. What a tragedy, what a travesty if we lay down on God after 53 years of faithfulness. God, help us to run through the tape. Get right with God and live for Jesus. Let's stand together. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for these people. God, been so patient. Thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you for 53 years, God, of faithfulness. I know every year have been different, Lord. God, it's been good times, bad times, all in between. But, Lord, you've been faithful. Lord, you've been good to us. We love you, God. I pray if there's anybody here lost today, you'd save them by your marvelous grace, Lord. I pray if there's somebody that is down in the far country or, Lord, sitting on a church pew close to their father's house. Lord, reveal our hearts to us, Lord. Help us to get right with you, Lord. I pray you'd revive us in these days. In Jesus' name.
But
Thy will be done. I love you, Jesus, God's precious Son. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life. Make me what you'd have me be. I'm your child.
Trust in Him.
are